You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build the social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I'm talking with one of my elite mastermind students, Allison Mullins. So what Allison does is she is actually a sales coach who has been in the fitness industry for the past 14 years, and she is also a serial entrepreneur. And guys, I'm telling you, she sold everything from chicken wings to appliances. And through her coaching, she helps people turn cold leads into creating a consistent five-figure income. So where Allison and I actually met is we were both working in the fitness industry, and she has managed personal training departments and helped them get to the point of selling five-figure agreements consistently. So we're talking like $10,000 agreements with her clients, really, really getting them to commit and teaching her team how to do the same. So thank you so much for being here today, Allison. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Ashley. I'm really excited.
Yeah. So let's dive in to a little bit about your journey. So we can talk a little bit about what you were doing before you jumped into the mastermind. And then with the mastermind, of course, I want to talk a little bit about what are some of the things you've been putting into place with getting your, you know, your sales coaching business sort of put together and off the ground. We'll start with your story first. Like, how did you come to be a sales coach?
So my background obviously was fitness. Like I said, I was a personal trainer. I started there as a personal trainer, working with clients, really enjoyed it. And then briefly, once I got into the personal training role, I got offered a fitness manager role, which then is where I really excelled in the aspect of selling, because not only was I selling for myself, I was then having to sell for my trainers who were struggling. So that's really where I would say I took off the most, was just really getting that clear picture of where trainers were struggling and the difficulties that they were having that I wasn't having, because my secret sauce is selling. Like you said, whether it's chicken wings or if it's selling appliances or fitness, I just really have that niche. So I was able to really help coach my trainers into being able to close those $5,000-$10,000 agreements that I was doing.
And so what were you noticing when you were coaching your team? Because I think this is really important for my listeners to also understand, because I think a lot of them can relate to this. When you were seeing your team struggling with sales, and of course, guys, we're talking about, you know, in the fitness industry setting, which is very comparable to a lot of coaches that may be listening to this podcast episode. What were you seeing that your personal trainers and your team was really struggling with that was not allowing them to see the same success you were in sales?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was clients talk themselves out of that sale. They didn't really get that emotional connection and understanding the real reason as to why people were there. Trainers love to train. Mm-hmm. At building that relationship is where trainers struggle the most, until they've had that client for a long period of time. Where on my thing is I seek to understand, I'm very passionate, and I want to know why that person is sitting in front of me. And once I was able to teach my trainers that it's not just about the sale, that it's actually really caring and being authentic with that person that's sitting in front of you, And being able to read that person was what was able to close those agreements. Like once you start talking to somebody, you should never have to feel that you're that pressure sales. So that would be, I would say, what trainers were struggling with the most. They were struggling with being a new trainer, not having that consistent income flowing that every single person they sat in front of was, I have to close them. I have to close them so that I have that income, is having that shift change.
Okay. So what you're saying then is that with the trainers that you were leading, one, they already made up their mind that they don't like sales and that they just want to train, which I think a lot of us can relate to that idea that you just want to train people and you don't think the sales, you don't want it to be part of it. So it kind of, for one, it goes back to the book, Money Flows Easily to Me, where we make a decision that this is easy or this is hard. So making that decision right off the bat that selling is hard. So that's sort of that first thing that is going on. And then the second thing here is that you've got like almost like a Maslow's hierarchy of needs where you're worried about that income. So in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you have to have those basic needs of survival covered first before you can even really start thinking straight about the other things and doing things for purpose and intention. So you've sort of got that going on in the background as well with the sale and how much pressure they're sort of putting on themselves and being so attached to that end result. And then you've got all those things impacting how they're interacting with the client, and they're not doing enough digging into the real reason why that person needs the life change. Is that, would you say that's accurate in terms of the things that typically hold people back?
100%. I see it in the appliance world. I see it even when I'm selling chicken wings and the fitness industry, is there always putting up those barriers and saying that person in front of me can't necessarily afford that personal training. If I can't afford it, how can someone spend $10,000 on an agreement? Like just today, in a short period of time, I sold a $10,000 kitchen in a duplex, right? But it wasn't that I could have easily put up that barrier and said, no, sorry. You know, why would you want to put that in there? But no, I found out what those clients really needed and really wanted in appliances and found the best solution for them.
So it's like this prejudgment that always tends to happen. We decide beforehand what is too expensive for that client or not, because we maybe couldn't picture ourselves either spending that amount of money, or we think that it's a stretch for that person. And then that determines how we, in the end, make the offer or try to close the sale, which ultimately impacts the way that it goes, right? When you make that assumption right off the bat. So, okay, perfect. So I guess we've sort of analyzed that typical sort of fitness coach or personal trainer and some of the barriers that they're up against before they go into a sales interaction. So let's talk now about how mindset plays into this. What are some of the things that you would recommend doing before you go into this conversation with your ideal customer?
So what kind of mindset you need to be in is, this is where people become salesy, is they'll come in and they'll say, this person, by looking at them, they can afford this amount. And what ends up happening is all of a sudden in a conversation, you understand that they have that higher paying job and that they can afford, or they currently already are doing or have things that are higher expense. And we have a tendency to then go, oh, well, if they can afford these things, then they can afford this. So we've already gave them an amount of what you felt that they could afford, and now you're trying to upsell them. And that's where you become really salesy. What needs to happen is you need to provide them with the best solution possible, what the highest amount, I'm going to say, for lack of better terms, that they can afford. So say it's a $10,000 agreement when it comes to personal training. You then need to establish is if they can't financially afford it, you need to be realistic with them and let them know that as we start to scale back, these are the things that you're missing, or that you're going to maybe not get the best results by scaling down. But you should always have your number one product and best solution for them and let them decide whether or not they can afford it or not.
Interesting. So it's almost like you've positioned sales. When someone is salesy, it's when you make assumptions for them. So being salesy could mean you assume that they can't afford something, so you push on them something else, or that you assume the other side and that everyone starts with a Ferrari and you make assumptions. Like, that's just what you're doing when you're salesy. Versus what you're saying is that your technique is all about how to find the right solution for that person, not negating it though and deciding like, oh, they should just go with this lowest option because I'm judging them and I'm judgester here and making that decision for them. You're instead saying, listen to what the customer is telling you and make your suggestions based on that, and don't hold back. Like, if they are telling you, I want these things, let's say if we're relating this to fitness, like, I really need help with my nutrition, I need someone to hold me accountable, like, they tell you all the things, then you need to make sure that the offer you present to them is in line with those things, versus making the assumption, oh, they probably can't afford the nutrition component, so I'm just going to cut that out. You're presenting all the options first before you decide, like, oh, this is what the person can afford.
100%. Like, I used to always, my commitment when I was a personal trainer, I knew I needed to work out a minimum of 3 days a week to see the results that I wanted to get. And most customers or clients that you're seeing coming in, they're going to need that, or they're going to want more than that because they have an event coming up. So if I come into them and say, well, sorry, I'm going to do 2 days a week because I know that's what you can financially afford, but they're sitting here going, no, I know I need 3 days a week, but I've offered them something less, then that's where I become salesy, because now I have to convert to, okay, well, let's do 3 days a week. And then they're like, whoa, 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 you just told me I needed 2 days a week. So you should always, if their Ferrari is what they need, then you should always start with a Ferrari and then work back, but allowing them to know that if we cut back these, this is where we're going to end up on your map of success, right? Your journey. Because if you say, well, I can cut this back, but you're going to get the same results, well, that's where I start to become salesy.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit more about your process. Now, I know you have something that you teach called the ABCs. So maybe we can dig into that a little bit. So we've talked about the pre-framing, that you can't dive into this and make assumptions, like, keep that to yourself. Don't prejudge people at all. Go in with the intention of better understanding. So what happens in your actual, I know in the fitness world, we call them like consultations. And for anyone out there, in terms of when we're talking social selling, what we're more so talking about is when you start to have dialogue with somebody on the internet, that somehow a sales conversation is forming. So we're not, in other episodes, I've talked more about how to authentically form those connections, meaning what you're posting on social media, your Facebook groups, all that sort of stuff. This is more so when you get into the actual, like, going back and forth with somebody, and you've sort of done that in a way that pre-qualifying. So I just want to make sure that that caveat is in there, that that's where we're sort of picking up from when you're about to engage in some sort of conversation about the actual, like, sale itself, if that makes sense. So what does that process look like for you then, Allison, when you start talking about how you can help this person and the, you know, in the fitness world, the consultation component of the sale?
Yeah, for sure. So the first step is align with your ideal customer. So not only when I used to look at a consultation when I was one-on-one, and I mean, on the online world, you can do this as well, is you need to be able to read that client and understand, is that client actually a right fit for me? If I'm a high energy person and I have somebody in a consultation that's sitting with their arms crossed, lean back, no energy, I'm not going to go into that consultation and be like, yeah, so when are we going to get started on personal training? I have the solution for you. So you need to make sure that you're aligning with that ideal customer. And not only is that customer aligned with you, but are you aligned with them as well? So making sure that you have that perfect fit and making sure that you know exactly what that client is needing. The second one would be building rapport or relationship. So this is where I really focus on emotion creates motion. So you really want to make sure that you're finding out what that client needs. This is where it's the whys. If someone comes into you and says, I want to lose 10 pounds. Well, why do they really want to lose that 10 pounds? You know, after talking to them and getting those digging questions, you find out that they're actually getting married next year and they just want to fit into that wedding dress just perfectly. You need to be able to build that relationship and follow their language, following and mimicking the words that they're using. So if they're saying, I want to get married next year, you're saying, okay, so when you get married next year, you're going to be 10 pounds lighter. How is that going to make you feel? So just really making sure that you're getting the emotional connection. And then third is the commitment. So this is where you really need to make sure that you're solidifying that commitment. And this is where I really get is if they want to commit to 3 days a week and getting the best results possible and committing to that $10,000 agreement, you need to make sure that they are committed, because it's one thing that you're getting the income coming in from that, but you need to hold up your end of the bargain and really getting the commitment from the both of you.
And so do you have like a list of questions that you think are most important to ask in a sales interaction?
For sure. So the biggest thing with sales is most people say they can't afford it. They don't have time, but they really want these goals. So when I look at when someone says to me, they just financially can't afford it, but you know, they walked into the consultation with a Timmy's, they're dressed in their Lululemons, you can tell their hair is dead, their nails are done to the nines, but they're saying to me that they can't afford to invest in their health. That's where I really say to them, well, if we cut some of these things out or we shift a little bit, a lot of times they find like, oh man, I'm spending that much. Or they'll say, yeah, I get a bottle of wine every night. Well, if the fitness is really important to you, why don't we move that bottle of wine to a Saturday? So now all of a sudden you have this extra disposable income that you now can invest in your fitness and health.
Okay. And so let's talk about what are the most common objections that every single person in, let's call it the sales industry, you'll probably hear. Okay. So we said time is one. We said the other one is money. That's the other objection that you may hear very often. What are the other ones?
I would say those are the two biggest. A lot of times too is people just don't feel that they can commit long enough for that to actually happen. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the theoretical model change, which is the states of changing behavior. And the biggest thing is that action is key, but you'll stay in that for about 3 months where you'll get that action, everything slowing, everything starting to become a habit, and you move into that maintenance. And the key thing is you have to do something for 10,000 hours to become a professional at it, right? So you look at in the fitness industry, that's why you see people going up and down in the world is they don't actually can see themselves committing for long enough for that to actually happen. So I would say that is the other thing is when you go to present a long-term commitment to somebody, that's one of the barriers that we see all the time is they're like, I have to commit to you for 6 months to see these results. Yeah, you need to see them, but you got to be able to maintain them. Otherwise, you're going to go into relapse and we're starting this process all over and your investment is just going down the drain. So I would say that would be another key one.
Okay. So I want to go back for one sec. We've got time, money, commitment. We've got spouse. That's another one that 100%. Probably, I don't know if that falls into commitment or support, or there's that objection that I've seen come up before. And then the other one is there any other ones? I'm just trying to think, or are those the main ones?
Those are definitely the main ones.
Okay. So those are the main four then that we're talking about here, the four.
For
okay.
sure.
So can you actually explain the trans-theoretical model first to give everyone a base of what that looks like, what the different stages are, just so that they understand?
Yeah, for sure. So there's pre-contemplation is the first one. So these are your people that, you know, they've seen the commercials or they're scrolling through social media and your post pops up and they're like, oh, you know, she's saying something that resonates with me. Like I really should probably look into her program. You know, she hit all the key aspects of what I'm needing. She's talking about nutrition. She's talking about a weight loss program. She's getting her clients results. I need to reach out to that Ashley Shaw or that Allison Mullins, right? Then you move into your contemplation stage. So this is where they're like, oh, I've actually clicked on that and said, she's going to give me a 5-day free post on nutrition. So I'm going to click into that and I'm going to investigate a little bit more. So that's where now they've went from, I've kind of thought about it. She's been a thought to me, but now I'm slowly starting to take action. And they'll sit in this phase potentially up to 3 months. They're like, they'll wing back and all of a sudden they forgot about you. And then all of a sudden they're playing a game and up pops Allison Mullins and I now need to take action. So then she'll move into, or he will move into the preparation. So this is where they've actually now looked at the different programs that you have to offer. They now know kind of what the cost is going to be for this to actually happen. Then you move into action. So this is where they've signed up. They've made 100% commitment. They're going to be working with me for the next 6 months. They've joined my membership and I'm going to start to see results. Now you move into what is called maintenance. And maintenance there can be anywhere from 6 months to a year. In this maintenance phase is where they're starting to get results. They're now starting to see that, yeah, this program is exactly what I need 100%. What will happen in this maintenance phase is if they fall behind on that program or they're now not committed to those 3 days a week, they're not following the nutrition plan, they're not doing the workouts, they will fall into what is called relapse. If they fall into relapse and they stay there, they then will start this process all over. So that's why it's really key to have your clients committed to that 6 to a year months, whether it be a membership or something that's going to hold them accountable to those commitments that they made to themselves. So losing that weight for that wedding, making sure they feel sexy in that dress that they haven't been in 10 years. That's where you really need to make sure that you get the commitment for, because like I said, if you start in relapse, they're starting that whole program all over again.
Okay, perfect. So now that we have an understanding of this model, how do you think that when it comes to these objections around money or time or commitment or spouse or any of those things, like, do you utilize this model to explain to them or overcome objections? Is that a part of your process, would you say?
100% it's part of the process, because what happens is people will jump on the next fad diet or the next thing that's going to give them that quick solution. But the problem is if they don't stay committed and they haven't done it for a long enough period of time, they will bounce back into the same habits, the same routine, and then they don't get the results and they're restarting that whole phase again.
Okay. So let's break this down even one step further, because I know there's going to be a ton of coaches that are like, Allison Mullins, give me everything about all the objections, because they hear them all the time. And when you're not used to overcoming objections, it can feel disheartening. But the fact is, like, it's just, it's not a no, it's a not right now, or it's a I don't have enough information. Like, that's the key thing with objections. So let's talk about time for a second. When somebody tells you, They don't have time to work out. How do you help them overcome that objection?
So the biggest thing is everybody will use an excuse as to why they don't want to commit or follow through with it. Let's be realistic. If they're using the excuse of time, I'm a mother of two, I'm an entrepreneur, I also have an appliance business. If you using that excuse, there's 24 hours in a day, you only need to commit to 20, I'm going to say even 45 minutes max to a workout program to see results 3 to 4 times a week. I honestly, time is not the issue. There is something deeper as to why they can't find self-development 20 to 45 minutes a day to be able to commit to yourself. I honestly would say that there's an underlining, another barrier that's stopping, and it's just, let's use time because everybody uses time.
So when you're overcoming that objection, then one thing's happening in your mind, you're realizing that, okay, it's not really time, but obviously like that's what this person is saying. So how do you overcome that? Like when you're talking to that client or potential client?
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know if you're familiar with, there's phases that you can do when you're coming to sales that I use. And one being fixed response that I use. So you're telling me that time is the reason why this is stopping you and not getting you to the results that you need. So you then want to make sure that you're using the words that that client in front of you is telling you. And then now you want to call what is called isolate and remove. So what if I sat here with you today with your schedule in front of you, and let's map out the next week where you can get, let's say, an hour, because I feel you deserve at least an hour in your day. Let's look where we can together eliminate that barrier of time is how I would do that, so that you know that person in front of you, if they can't, especially if they have kids, if they can't give themselves an hour to better themselves, I need to be able to remove that barrier and say, let's look at your schedule and see where we can fit those workouts in so you can be the best person that you possibly can be.
So just to recap, the first step you take is you're repeating back to them, you know, so what you're saying is that you don't have enough time to work out. And they're saying, yes, I don't have enough time. And so when you're isolating, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
So sorry. The first thing that you want to do is actually that fixed response is go back to their goals. So, you told me you wanted to look amazing in that wedding dress. You told me you haven't been in that dress in 10 years and it's only 10 pounds holding you back. So you want to make sure you're using that fixed response first, which is going back to their goals. Then you want to isolate and remove that barrier. So one being time is what's stopping you. Let's work together in finding some time for you so that you can fit into that dress that you've always wanted to fit into because it's been 10 years.
Okay. And so I guess obviously the key here is that one, you need to know clearly what their goals are. Like this 100%. Dialogue hinges on that, knowing exactly what their goals are. So I think one question that may come up for people is, how do you do that in a way that doesn't sound salesy? Or how do you do that in a way that's soft? Because one, I think, you know, if you're in person, you can change the tonality of your voice, which makes it a little bit easier. But if you're doing this over Messenger or something that's like you only have your words, or maybe you do this through audio, like what is your suggestion there of how you do this in a way that makes it not feel salesy and you like, I don't know if soften's the right word, but how would you recommend doing that if you're doing this through like a Messenger conversation?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is you need to understand why that person is reaching out to you. You need to know. So the best way I would do is start the conversation without, again, is finding out, hey, thanks for reaching out to me today. Can I just ask what really connected with you or solidified that you decided to come and talk to me today? I'm just curious, you know, that call to action, just, hey, what tweaked your interest or piqued your suspicions to not be salesy? You have to have the reason why they decided to reach out to you. And it's the dialogue of a conversation. Talk about their goals. You know, this is goes back to building rapport and relationship. You shouldn't be asking for a sale if you don't know the number one reason why they decided to reach out to you. So you need to know exactly, talking to them and finding out what their goals are before you're presenting any kind of sale.
Okay. So the first thing is to, this happens before you get to objections. Once you get to objections, it's too late, like to 100%. Go back and try to figure out these answers. So in your earlier dialogue, you want to find out like what piqued their interest, like, you know, what made you reach out today? Because everyone has that moment, that aha moment, like, oh, I was trying to put on my jeans today and they didn't fit. Like something happened. They reached out to you. And then you really need to find out the motivation for that goal. And then when you are having that dialogue about the commitment, you want to, if they say, oh, you know what, like, yeah, great, thanks for the options, I just don't think I'm going to have time to do this program or whatever you're offering, you're going to go back to the fact that, you know, I know you told me that this goal was really important because your anniversary is coming up. You're not going on that cruise anymore that you said you were, but you guys are going to take a camping trip in your, you know, local area. And it's, you know, you want to really feel good for that trip. So you're basically going to go back to those goals that they shared with you. Mm-hmm. And
you always want to make sure it's a fixed response. You go back to their goals, then you're going to isolate. So basically repeat back what their response was. So whatever the client in front of you says, like, I want to lose 10 pounds for this wedding, you have to repeat exactly the words that they were using back to them. And then where the isolate and remove is, so you're telling me the only thing that's stopping you from getting started today is time. Let's look at your schedule and see what's going to actually, let's get an hour in there that we can commit to. I'm going to commit to you. So let's make sure that you're committed and nothing's going to stop you from making sure that you get those workouts in.
Okay. And I think the subtlety here is, guys, because what Allison's talking about is in person, like repeating back to someone. So I just want to explain how this actually happens when you might be on Messenger. Because it's going to be different, right? It'll be awkward if you're like, so you're saying that you don't have time. And meanwhile, you can see that earlier in the message. Like, so I think what we're saying here is that this step number one is to always go back to their goals and what they shared with you earlier. And, you know, you had mentioned this was really important to you and I want to help you find the best way for you to get to those goals. And then what you're going to do is, the repeat part is really to show that you understand and that you can empathize or that you understand what they're saying. So what that may sound like, and if you're sending an audio message, it may sound like, okay, so time is the biggest thing holding you back right now. I completely understand. Is this the only thing stopping you right now from taking a step forward with your goals? So I almost wonder if you couple those together, if you're doing this via like an audio message, if that, or you could do that if it, you were typing that out, that would be easy enough. But it's like, I think the difference will be if you're not in person, you have to sandwich those two things together.
100%. And that's where I was going to say is that if it's through a Facebook Messenger or it's on Instagram, is they're still going to have dialogue there that you can use their language. So even though I'm saying that it's an in-person is how I deal with it or have dealt with it in the past, I've still been able to do it via on Facebook, Instagram, or whether it be through a Zoom call, is you then can have that emotional connection with someone and you're still, you want to just use their language. So if they've said, I want to lose 10 pounds so that I feel sexy and look good, you can type that stuff, right? So you can still get that connection. It's just the key is really understanding the main reason why they reached out to you. And when you look back at that behavioral change model is, if they're in that action, you need to take action today with them, because otherwise they may be starting that whole cycle all over again.
Okay. So then after you ask them if it's the only thing stopping them from getting started on their goals, then what you're, and you're waiting for a response, they say, yeah, that's the only thing, like, that's what I just need to figure out. You're basically going to offer to help them figure out the time, like take it that one step further and determine when a good time is for them to fit that in.
Absolutely. And then hold them accountable. You may at this point not drop the sales. Personally, if I've gotten to that point, this is where I'm going to provide them the best solution for them. And then there is actually ways to overcome those objections as well. But if you know, and you can feel the language going back and forth that, yeah, they need to take action today, otherwise they're going to start this behavior all over again, you have to make sure you're asking for that commitment or asking for that sale.
And so how do you do that then? If you are asking them, you're going to sit down with them and you're offering to sit down with them, let's look at your schedule, let's figure out where it can fit. Is that what you mean by asking for the commitment? Like you're asking for that, like call it an appointment time or whatever, to sit down with them and look at that schedule?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and if you're doing this online, this is where you're going to pop up your schedule and say, yeah, I got time here on Monday. Does this work for you? Let's do a workout together, you know, so that they're now having, if they're like, oh man, my coach, my trainer is working out with me today, it's going to change their life. You know, they're honestly as committed to me as I'm committed to her, him, right? So that's where you really need to make sure at this point, you have to be showing them your sales of how you're going to change their life. You have to ask that for that sale. And what better time to ask for it after you've removed or isolated that barrier that stopped them?
Okay. And so if we were to deal with it in that way for time, how would you deal with that with money then? If like you were going to go through the same process of you've got your, you know, going back to their goals, which is the fixed response, you've got isolating and removing their barriers, that the only thing stopping you from starting with me today, how do you go to that next step? You know, like, what are you going to do to help them with the money factor?
Yeah, so I would use the same steps. So for instance, to get them to commit, we've established their goals. We know exactly how much they want to lose weight. They know what they need to do for nutrition. And now we're talking about the sale. Is I would say to them, okay, you know, it's going to cost you $10,000 to get you to this goal, and say the price, right? The first thing they're going to say is no. They may sit back and ponder it. They now know that the way to get to the, like, so it takes 80%. You get 80% better results working with someone than not. So this is where I would then say to them that this is the solution. Say the price. Worst case they're going to say is, no, that's too much money. And then you work back from there, right? So then there's what's called clarify and explain. So you're saying to me that, you know, all of these, you go back to the results, you go back to the goals and say, if you've committed to this, this is where you're going to be today, you know, and get them excited again. But you have to be able to say that this is the solution and this is the cost.
Okay. So just so that we can make sure, I want to make sure there's like a step-by-step process here that these guys mm-hmm. can follow. So you
go back. So basically for the cost, they go back to the fixed response. So you would then go back to their goals, regardless okay, so what of whatever the objection is.
Right. So money is the objection. We've mm-hmm. gone to fixed response already. Mm-hmm. We've gone to isolate and remove. Is this the only thing stopping you? Then mm-hmm. what? What happens after that?
Okay, so this is where you can say, so is the only thing that's stopping you today is the cost?
Yep.
So tell me today, what can you financially afford so that we can get you started? Because right now you're in action and I want to get you to that next step of maintenance. So what are we going to do today to get you started on this solution?
Okay, because so basically this is the clarify what you're, this is a clarifying question. What can you afford today? Because I with like obviously different, whatever health and fitness, you know, or product that some people are, that they have, that they're selling, there's always different options with where they can start. So they don't have to start with, you know, everything. They could always start with just the, you know, one of those items that fits in their budget. Okay.
Yeah. So the clarify is exactly, tell me what you can get started on today so that we can at least start this journey on getting you to the results.
Perfect. Okay. So let's go to the last objection, like commitment, maybe commitment slash spouse, like something in there. So how would you handle that objection?
So if it's spouse, one that I used to use in the fitness world all the time is letting them know that they have an awesome support system. So even though your husband may not be that supportive, is know that your team or your group, your tribe is there to support you. And not only that, I'm going to be your number one supporter. So I'm going to be here, your cheerleader, cheering you on and getting you those results. And I can promise you that once your husband sees you 10 pounds lighter in that dress that he hasn't seen you in 10 years, he's going to be like, damn girl, keep doing what you're doing. I don't care how much it costs. Right. So I think that's the biggest thing is I look at a situation is when I was in the fitness world and I'd come home and I'd be like, yeah, I closed my $10,000 agreement today. And my husband, Ryan, was like, why is somebody spending $10,000 on personal training? Right. Most spouses don't understand or aren't supportive until they've experienced it themselves. And especially in the fitness world and women, we never put ourselves first. So, you know, our kids, they go without nothing. But once you make that commitment to yourself and you realize that you're getting so many better results and you can be more efficient as a mom, usually most of the time the husbands are then supportive.
Well, it's funny because I think sometimes when it comes to the things that are in certain situations, I'm going to talk about my own spouse. Everyone's spouse is obviously different, but like there was like not a lot of hesitation when he was like, okay, this is the truck I want. And like, this is what, like fully supportive over here. Like you do you, that's what you want, go for it. I think sometimes what can happen is when we go to our spouses and we're like, do you think I should do this? The spouse on the other side is always like, well, if you're asking me, then no, like, or whatever, right? Like, that's not all spouses, but I'm making a generalization here. It's like there's definitely a difference when someone is going to their spouse and saying, I really want to do this, I'm going to do this. And, you know, there's that differentiation, I think, of how committed we are. Also, you know, sometimes spouses are looking at the past and if someone has stuck with it or, you know, like those phases of change that we've talked about. And a lot of that is having that community to make sure that someone is holding you accountable and that there's other people showing up. So when you go through those questions, you know, like the fixed response, the isolate and remove, is this the only thing stopping you that you need to talk to your spouse? What happens after that? What do you usually say?
So then what I go into is I call it cushion, which is the triple F's. So feel, felt, found. And what I usually say in those is I totally understand where you're coming from. I've felt and feel the way you've been before. But let me tell you, once you get to those results and you put that wedding dress on, you're going to feel the best you've ever felt. So the biggest thing is just making sure that you're understanding where they're coming from and if you've ever been in those shoes where, you know, yeah, I really want to, I feel the way you're feeling. I totally understand where you're coming from. Let me provide you with the solution is definitely, I call it cushion or the triple Fs.
Okay. Okay. Got it. And then you just wait for what they say after that.
Absolutely. So obviously in person, it's a lot easier. You can read the language, but I will tell you in this phase is silence is sometimes the best, especially if you're doing it on an audio or all of a sudden you realize they haven't reached out to you in 24 hours. Don't then be quick to be like, oh, I better send them a message and see what they felt. No, they're probably, they need to take the time to process it. In the appliance world, you know, people will walk out the door and I've seen it where they're like, oh, there ain't coming back. And next thing you know, they come back and spend $10,000 on a couple appliances. And you're like, oh, it's, you got to give time to people to digest this, right? They got to make sure that they can put all their ducks in their row and make sure that they are committed to you as much as you are. So silence is sometimes the best thing. Don't be quick to send that response right away. Give them that time.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of social sellers out there that struggle with this is that they immediately get that feeling of like, oh, I'm being ghosted. They're not coming back. They're not saying anything. So at what point do you feel it's appropriate to follow up? And obviously like the message here is like, don't look at silence as a bad thing. It's a good thing.
100%. So I think the biggest thing is going back and looking at the dialogue that you've had and go, I would say within the 24 to 48 hours, definitely 48, probably if you haven't responded, and just say, you know, go back to their goals and be like, or, you know, if they're using time is, hey, are you available today for a workout? The rest of the group and the tribe is going to be working out at 6 p.m. Does that work for you? If they respond back, no, what time does work for you, right? So you definitely need people to give time to digest, but you definitely don't want to leave too much time where you're now, they're going back into that pre-contemplation stage and they're starting this process all over again.
Okay. And so with commitment, you would say it's the same thing. You're going to go through those steps, fixed response, isolate, remove, and then you would, what would you go into from there?
Then that's where you're going to clarify and explain, where you definitely want to find out if, is this the only thing stopping you from today to getting started? And then if the response is yes, okay, what can we do to get you started today? What solution out of, usually I always make sure you have three different options so that you can pick, okay, if the Ferrari isn't your choice today, what is your next choice? And this is where people say, oh, you know, you're starting to sound salesy. No, we know they want to get started today. They've told us that. Let's provide them with a solution that can get them started today. Because maybe tomorrow they may be able to go to that Ferrari package and we can then upgrade them to it. But allowing them to not succeed on or have start on their goals, then we're not succeeding as business professionals.
Right. And I think the other thing that can fall around commitment is if there is, like, I know with a lot of products out there, there's money back guarantees and there's different things like that. So
absolutely,
you know, being able to explain, like, you know, even I guess it's using that cushion a bit, like, you know, other people have felt that way before. And what they found really helped them make the decision was knowing there was a money back guarantee. So what would make you feel comfortable to get started today? I'm asking that question. Okay. Got it. Awesome. So Allison, I think there's going to be people that definitely want to be able to follow you and to reach out. So where is the best place for them to do that and to get some of the, I know you're putting together some different freebies for them to be able to download. Where's the best place for them to follow you and find you?
Yeah. So the best place would be on Instagram. So it's the Ally with double L's, Mullins again with double L. Would be the best. The other one is Facebook. So it's again, Allison with double L's, Mullins double L's, would be the best place.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Allie, for walking through all that stuff with us. So many golden nuggets and lots of great things to take away today for everyone listening.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me, Ashley.
If you're a health or fitness influencer and you're struggling to find your people online, our done-for-you Find Your People posting plan can help. These social media posting templates, all written by a professional copywriter to inspire curiosity, have been shown to boost engagement as much as 80%. Seriously, that's crazy, but it's true. And you can grab 5 for free today at ashleyshaw.ca/FYP posts. Soon, you won't have to worry about finding your people because they'll be finding you. Again, the place to grab 5 of those Find Your People social posting templates for free is ashleyshaw.ca/FYP posts.